The job of central bankers is a staid, understated one. So central bank governors across the world rarely surprise the markets. They go with convention, they watch the data. The data they are watching is also the data that the markets are watching, so markets can also anticipate their moves. You can see bond prices going up or down, or bond yields going up and down. As people watch, people in the market watch data on inflation, etc., inflation, money availability, and they anticipate the moves by, say, the Fed in the US or by the RBI in India. But sometimes they do surprise the markets. In fact, if I may take you back to a statement that Dr. Y.V. Reddy, one of our foremost and formidable RBI governors in the past, he had once quipped when somebody asked him in a press conference that, why did you surprise the markets? And he said, I sometimes like to surprise the markets. So that is exactly what Shaktikanta Das, the governor, now did today. Because he issued an unplanned statement. Usually in India, the Monetary Policy Committee of RBI, it's a 6-member committee, and I will tell you a little bit more in a bit about how it came into being and what it means. It had an unscheduled meeting. Usually, Reserve Bank of India talks about monetary policy and the monetary situation on inflation, growth. It tells you the situation as it exists on the day it speaks, and also as it anticipates it playing down going ahead. That's a very important event. And it's not something that happens once a year. It happens every alternate month. It happens now 6 times in a year. So even between those frequent meetings and frequent statements, when the Monetary Policy Committee and the RBI decide to hold one more meeting, an unscheduled meeting, and make a statement like this, which means tinker with the rates, it means that they are either alarmed by something which looks like a threat, or they are suddenly enthused by something when they see an opportunity. For example, or if they might see a situation where their intervention may become necessary sort of on the other side, which means if the growth is really stalling, as might have been the case when COVID first came in and the lockdown was imposed, that is when they made these quick decisions to lower the rates. Similarly, they get alarmed. Now, that was a different kind of alarm. When they get alarmed by inflation, that is a worrying thing, and that's what worries the markets, and that is what spooks the markets. And that's precisely what happened to the markets today. We saw all stock markets, all bond indices, everything fell today. It was like a secular decline. The reason that happened was a small change. The small change was that Governor Shaktikanta Das said that Monetary Policy Committee had met, the 6-member committee. It had unanimously decided that inflation is getting out of control a little bit and they need to move proactively. They can't be behind the curve. Now, that's also something that you keep hearing all the time. US Fed is behind the curve. Europeans are way behind the curve right now. Their inflation is also going up, but they are not raising the rates. US Fed has started raising the rates already, and expectations are that they will raise rates again in quick session and again and again and again. The last raise was 25 basis points. Now it might be 50 basis points. That's the anticipation. So in anticipation of that, Indian Fed or the Indian RBI has also reacted. So what has changed? So first of all, repo rate. Now that's the rate at which RBI lends money to banks against collateral. So banks can draw money from RBI and banks must pay interest at a particular rate. That is called the repo rate. Of course, you know about the reverse repo rate. That is when banks park their surplus money with RBI. That's a different thing. So until now, RBI had maintained the repo rate at the lowest ever in India's history, at 4%, lowest ever at least in relevant history last 30, 40 years. It had not been 4%. In fact, if anything, it had gone into almost double digits around 2008 during the crisis months of the global financial crisis. And after that, it was consistently lowered as governments drove up growth. And that is when, during the pandemic, it was lowered further. It came down to 4%. They have now increased it. They have increased it by 40 basis points. Now, what is basis points? Once again, this is not for experts. Experts and those who are in financial markets know what is basis points. Basis points is for ease of understanding. If I say that today the repo rate was 4%, they've reduced it by 0.25%. Then you start calculating that is it 0.25% as in of 100 or 4. So it is 0.25 percentage points out of 4%, which means they've added 0.25% to 4%. That is why for clarity, we say basis points. So they have increased this repo rate by 40 basis points. That's a bit unconventional. Usually in India, the RBI either raises or cuts by 25 basis points or 50 basis points or in multiples of 25. This time they've done it in 40 basis points, which means it's higher than the minimum, that's 25 that they usually do, but it's still a little bit lower than what might have been seen as too steep in one go. But the market's anticipating that in another month or so, they will carry out further hikes. Now, this is one thing. Second thing they've done to give the same signal that they want to tighten money supply and they want to control inflation, even if interest rates go higher, interest rates will go higher, is that they've raised CRR. Now, what is CRR? So CRR stands for cash reserve ratio. Now, that is the money that the banks out of their deposits have to park with the Reserve Bank of India. They cannot do any business out of it. So that has gone from 4% to 4.5%, which means that's been raised by 50 basis points. And as the RBI governor says, this means that this is sucking out 80,000 crore rupees of liquidity from the banks or from the markets. What that means is that given all the deposits that the banks have out of which they are lending, if they take out another 50 basis points or 0.5%, that amounts to 87,000 crores. So that's another 87,000 crores they cannot lend to anybody. So that 87,000 crores will not be released to the markets. It just gets parked with Reserve Bank of India in trust. So basically, Reserve Bank of India is further sucking liquidity out of the market. They are telling the banks, you do business with the rest. As our banking system stands, it's very stable. Also because it's very conservatively run. It's also very conservatively regulated. So for any bank, so you might think now that if CRR is 4.5%, maybe the bank still has 95 rupees 50 paisa to lend or to business with. That is not quite the case. Besides CRR, banks also have to park quite a bit of money in what is called as SLR, that is the statutory liquidity ratio. So that's a certain amount of bank deposits which they are going to lend out, because banks are basically lenders. They pay interest on deposits and they earn interest on their lendings, and the difference between that is where they pay their cost from and make their profits. So a certain percentage of money that the banks have has to be parked either in government bonds, government securities, sovereign bonds, or sometimes other bonds which can be rated as being equal to government bonds. For example, very often PSU bonds. That ratio now is 18%. So 18% plus 4.5%. So banks can now do business in the market out of every 100 rupees they have with 77 rupees 50 paisa. So to that extent, liquidity has been squeezed further. In fact, if we try to understand it better, it isn't that 87,000 crores is the number for today, but every day banks are getting more deposits. Every month banks are getting a lot more deposits. India has a very large banking sector. So every time they get deposits and they are lending, once again, they have to park this much more money with RBI. So chances are over the next 6 months or so, this amount will become almost 2 lakh to 2.25 lakh crores, which means a lot of money has been taken out of the market. The objective is the less money that is available in the market, the lesser inflation there will be. So what is it that spooked the RBI in this case? Now, RBI gets inflation data ahead of all of us. All of us get it after it's checked out by several authorities, several agencies in the government. I'm not saying that they fix it, but it goes through many processes. But RBI gets it first. They saw India's inflation rates going already upwards of 6.3%, say in March. And now indications are that they are seeing it in April reaching close to 8%. And that is what they are worrying about. So they are acting in time so that inflation does not get out of hand. Because one thing India cannot handle is, no country can handle, is higher inflation. And if you want to see how badly this is working for the richest countries in the world, see what's happening in America. America this time has 8.5% inflation at this point, which is the highest in America's history in 50 years. The highest inflation. Highest inflation, it's also combined with two consecutive quarters of negative growth. So degrowth, that is the definition of stagflation. Now what happens is, in the American system, three consecutive quarters of degrowth is seen as a recession. So you can see that already the opposition in America is making a noise. I'm sharing on my screen a tweet from Mike Pompeo, the former US Secretary of State, who's now basically thumbing his nose at Joe Biden, saying, look at what's happened. High inflation, low growth. That's what happens with socialist economics. That's what happens when you get us out and we'll be back. So see that data. The other data you will see, that's also from a tweet, and that tells you how both the Europeans and the Americans are moving sort of together in the same direction, higher inflation rates and inadequate action on monetary policy. So this is now alarming even monetary policy governors in the US and the developed world, because inflation has now become a global phenomenon. Now, where is this inflation coming from? That's a very important point. So several things have gone wrong with the world. But the most important thing that's gone wrong over the past few years is the way the Americans have tried to fight the pandemic. They've tried to fight the pandemic by printing more and more dollars. And they know that this is the reserve currency of the world. So they can print more, the world will come and buy their bonds, and in the process fund their deficit. The Chinese will buy their bonds, Indians will buy their bonds. So they've just been printing money. So money supply in the US has really gone up. They've also sent these checks to people by way of relief. So people have used that to spend that money. That's one cause of inflation. Because in 3 years, money supply in the US has increased by 50%. This has not happened ever in America's history. In fact, in the past, the only times money supply in America has gone up by more than 40%, but not quite 50%. More than 40% in a three-year band was in 1973. You know what happened then? That's when the Yom Kippur War took place and the oil price shock came in, because oil-producing countries then got together and cartelized. And second time was 1977-78. Those are called the bad Carter years. So once again, Biden is facing the criticism that he is the new Jimmy Carter. Right? This time, money supply has gone up even more. As money supply has gone up even more, at the same time, Americans have been putting higher tariffs on Chinese imports. Now, a lot of the goods that come into American markets come from China. So those have become more expensive as a result of those higher tariffs. That's why now there is talk that Americans may decide to reduce those tariffs on Chinese goods, because, you know, we live in a globalized world. So you can take one action against this country, another action against that country. But in today's globalized world, this beggar by neighbor policy simply does not work. Because you may try to hurt the Chinese by increasing tariffs on the goods that they export to you, but that will result in inflation for your own consumers. So they are now trying to address that. It's a big problem. And then the war in Ukraine. Because of the war in Ukraine, first of all, massive sanctions have been put on the Russians, because of which oil and gas prices have shot up. See this graphic on how gas prices and oil prices are going up in the world, particularly in America. As that pressure of sanctions increases, if the Europeans further cut purchase of their oil and gas from Russia, it will be difficult to control these prices or bring down these prices, even if the Americans get the Saudis and others to increase their production, because then Americans have to take that larger decision of lifting the sanctions on Venezuela and Iran, which are the other big oil producing countries, which also has political costs in the US and makes Joe Biden look weaker. So all these factors have now combined. Add to that the fact that Ukraine is among the biggest exporters of a lot of food products, basic food products in the world. Wheat, for example, and also sunflower oil. In India, bulk of our sunflower oil, which we use for our cooking, comes from Ukraine. Now, as a combination of all this, you see global food grain prices are going up, wheat prices have more than doubled, and you also see global edible oil prices are coming up. And every large country is worried what will happen to my consumers, particularly if that country is not where it is. So Indonesia, which is one of the biggest exporters of palm oil, which is the mainstay of other poorer countries like India, say even Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia has now controlled, if not fully banned, the export of palm oil. So that is leading to increase in the price of cooking oils also. So as a combination of all that, inflation is going up. Inflation is going up. All of the world is now acting on inflation because that is what causes public unrest. That is also what causes countries and their economies to go out of whack. You want to see how badly things turn out if inflation goes out of control? Look at Turkey. Inflation there crossed 65% because Erdogan thought he could change the markets. He was so powerful, and that's a mess. Look at Sri Lanka. Again, inflation has gone out of control. That's a mess. Pakistan, inflation went out of control. That's equally a mess. That's why this action has now been taken, because you know what? Inflation and recession, they are siblings. Ek bada, one older, one younger. So older sibling is inflation. When inflation goes up, recession follows in its wake. And that's why it's so important to control inflation when there is still time.